Bachelor, 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 live from Rogers Arena, calling Canucks games. It is Brendan Bachelor, Bachelor, Bachelor.
8:03 on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford Bruff in the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour three of the program. Brendan Bachelor is going to join us momentarily. Hour three is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today.
We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio, Kintech Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sorfy, what are you waiting for?
Kintech. Okay, so tonight, 7 o'clock, Rogers Arena. It is the final home game of the regular season. It is fan appreciation night. The opponent is the Calgary Flames. The NHL has just sent forth all of the clinching scenarios for tonight. So here's what the playoff picture could come into real focus tonight with the Canucks-Flames game, because if the Canucks get at least 1 point against the Flames, they clinch the Pacific Division title. We know this.
Hang the banner.
If the Canucks lose in any fashion to the Flames, the Stars get their own banner, the Western Conference title. Meaning, if the Canucks were to lose in overtime or the shootout tonight to the Calgary Flames, get that point but lose, they would not be able to catch Stars for first. They would be locked in to that number two.
With the Preds.
That's right. So it would come all into
focus. Because the Preds are locked into the first wild card.
They can't move. So it would all come into focus tonight. That's what's at stake tonight. It's exciting. I'm excited. Let's go now.
I'd be okay with an OT loss, to be perfectly honest with you.
Can you throw a game in overtime?
Oh, you sure could.
You can't, but if you pull the goalie, you lose the point.
No, I know, but you can shoot it into your own net.
It's true.
Do you think that would cause an investigation?
Could you imagine?
Is it pulling the goalie, though, if he's still on the ice as a center?
He has to physically leave the ice.
Yeah, so put him as a forward.
Who would you choose to shoot the puck into your own net and you would maintain plausible deniability that he meant it?
Okay, so I'm just going to – this is in no way related to professional sports.
Old question.
Anything that I ever played was the most lowest amateur sport ever. But I played – there used to be an Italian league that was – soccer league that was run in the summers.
Mm-hmm.
I played on a team that once scored in our own net to
– Yeah, you've told the story before.
Yeah. The worst,
it was not well received.
Maybe the worst move in the history of sports. I cannot even begin to tell you how poorly it was received, both by the players on our team and everybody else that watched it happen.
So nobody wants to answer the question about which player would you choose and maintain plausible deniability he meant to do it?
It'd be funny if it was McKayev. He's like, oh, now he finishes.
To the phone lines we go. Brendan Bachelor joins us now on the Halford
Guy's a
show.
Sniper.
On Sportsnet 6.
Always knew it.
What up, Batch?
I was going to say McKayev, too, so there
you go. Yeah, there you go. Okay, good. I didn't want to – I felt like we were flying too close to the sun by even just discussing this idea, but we've done it now, so what the hell. Anyway, it is final regular season game at home. It is fan appreciation night. As I just mentioned, there's a lot at stake. And, of course, Batch, it's the return of Thatcher Demko for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how he's able to sort of get himself back up and running here in the lineup. And he talked about it yesterday that, you know, it's one thing to practice, but to get into game situations with, you know, 10 guys flying around and tracking pucks and all of those things is going to be the work he needs to get in here and tick a bunch of boxes in terms of his return to play. But, you know, if you want to base how he might do off of how he performed when he came back last year after an injury that held him out twice as long as this one, he was pretty good down the stretch last season. So hopefully he can have a good game tonight, feel confident, maybe go to Winnipeg and play on Thursday as well. I guess we'll see, depending on clinching scenarios and rest and all of those sorts of things, and then we'll find out when they start the playoffs after that.
What do you think about that? I mean, tonight is obviously going to be the focus for Calgary, but do you think Rick Tocchet is honest in his assessment? He's like, listen, we're not going to make any decisions now or based on the Winnipeg lineup. They're just going to wait and see all the scenarios that could possibly play out and then decide on his lineup for Winnipeg?
I'm sure he's got an idea of guys that are banged up that he might want to give a night off. Now, how many guys you can give a night off based on, you know, your roster and salary cap implications and stuff like that, you know, that's going to be above his pay grade to a certain extent. So whether they could call up a couple of guys so they could sit even more guys for that game, I guess, depends. I'm sure he's got a good idea of who he would sit. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of stuff in flux here. And, you know, let's say they don't play very well tonight or have a step back. He might want to send a more representative lineup to give them another chance to, have a strong game and feel good about themselves before the end of the regular season. And, you know, in the case of someone like Demko, he might really want him to get another game, and Ian Clark might want him to play both of them. And then I think the factor that could play in as well is when this team could start the playoffs, because we heard Elliott report yesterday that it might be Tuesday. So are you really going to give some of your players a whole week off between games? I know in a scenario where they play the Predators finish tonight, so they would have a whole week off, but you might actually want your guys to play another game and, you know, be a little more or not have rust be a factor, I guess we'll say, if it is indeed going to be as long as Tuesday before this team starts round one.
What do you think about, I feel like I ask you this every week, the new look forward lines? Because I think I asked you last week if you thought, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I can't keep track, if you thought that the Canucks top six would be the top six that they go into the playoffs with. And at the time, it was JT Miller between Connor Garland and Dakota Joshua, and Brock Besser was up with Pettersson and Hoglander. It's since changed because Elias Lindholm came back to the lineup, and Rick Tocchet said, okay, I want Lindholm between Joshua and Garland on, if you want to call it the third line, you call it the third line. And then Besser was back with Miller, and then Suter rejoins that line, and McKayev rejoins the Pettersson line with Hoglander. So now do you think that the lines that the Canucks have as currently constructed are the ones they'll go into the playoffs with?
Assuming health, yes, I do. And the reason why is that this is pretty close to the lineup that they ran with most of the year, especially in the first half when they were having a lot of success. Like, we saw Miller and Besser never left each other's sides in terms of being on the same line. Pettersson's line mates changed, but he was anchoring his own line, and Hoglander's been on that line since early February now. So, you know, at one point it was McKayev, Kuzmenko, Lafferty got a chance there. You know, there was a bunch of guys that were rotated in and out, but Pettersson stayed on that quote unquote, you know, whether you want to call it the first line, the second line, whatever, the other top six line. And then the third line was Garland and Joshua and had Bluger in the middle, but now you've acquired Lindholm. So he goes in there and it gives you some added depth to make Bluger your fourth line center with Lafferty. And then whether it ends up being Podkolzin or DiGiuseppe on the other side, I think that's maybe a little bit interchangeable. But, I think it's sustainable, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they played one of their most complete games in a few weeks against the Oilers on the weekend, the first period aside, because, you know, this is how teams have success in the playoffs when you're able to roll three lines that you have confidence in, and you've got like a designated shutdown line that you trust against the top lines of other teams that could also be your third line with Joshua and Lindholm and Garland. So I really like the way the lines are deployed right now. I would be loath to change them if I was Rick Tocchet, because I think it's a setup that adds the most depth. You know, you trust the Miller line against top lines. You certainly trust the Lindholm line against top lines. And then maybe it allows you to get the Pettersson line some favorable minutes and matchups, especially through the first two games of the first round when you have the last change and you can control that sort of stuff. And then I even like the Podkolzin, Bluger, Lafferty fourth line. I think, you know, they had a pretty good game in Edmonton and could give you some good minutes in certain spots throughout games as well. So, this is maybe the most I've liked the forward line since Lindholm arrived, and I would like to see them keep it this way.
So I am going to try not to massively jinx the Canucks in their final two games of the regular season here, but assuming that Thatcher Demko comes back and he looks good and everything's good with his knee and he's healthy and the rehab has worked, they got to feel pretty darn good about the health of the team heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, no serious injuries to core players right now. You know, most of your top guys will have finished the year healthy. And again, I'm knocking on wood as I'm saying all of this. So take that into account. But yeah, I mean, if Demko looks good, then you've got him back And not only do you have him back, but you have him back after being well rested from recovering from this injury. You know, I've liked the way that Lindholm has looked since he went out and rested his wrist problem and worked through that. You know, it's about as good of a situation as you could hope for going into the playoffs to have this level of health. And yeah, guys are dinged up and have, you know, bumps and bruises. And we know that, you know, Besser has missed a few practices lately and Pettersson missed a practice a couple weeks ago. So, you know, that's always going to be the case when you go into the playoffs. But, you know, I think a large part of this season, and, you know, credit the Canucks, they've had a great year. They've been very consistent for most of the season. They've got a chance to get to 50 wins tonight, which is not something that this team has done very often in its 50-plus year history. But one of the big reasons why they've been able to do that is because of health and, you know, the fact that their top players haven't missed much time. So they're going to need for that to continue to happen into the postseason. And if it does, then, you know, this sets up well for this group to potentially go on a pretty good playoff run here.
I know Rick Tocchet was asked and was talking yesterday about the size that the Canucks now have on their back end and how much Rick Tocchet hopes that pays dividends in the playoffs. Just maybe your thoughts on how the Canucks are constructed on the defense and how that might play out in the playoffs. What do you think the pairings are going to be? Is there a top four, or is it more like a top two and a bottom four?
Yeah, it's probably more like a top two and a bottom four. But, you know, what I think about is late last year when the Canucks were playing out the string, they played Vegas late in the year, and Rick Tocchet had all sorts of praise for the Vegas blue line and their size and their length, but also that they could skate and they could move the puck. And it's pretty clear that they've modeled the way they've redesigned their blue line after that Vegas model to a certain extent. Like, you know, other than Hughes and Hronek, all of the guys that you've put out there are long, rangy defensemen who can help break up plays in the defensive zone. But they've got, you know, a solid amount of puck moving ability, you know, outside of Hughes and Hronek as well, I think it's fair to say. So, you know, I like the way the blue line's constructed. I think, you know, the pairings are probably going to stay the way they are right now with Hughes and Hronek, Susi Myers, and Zadorov and Cole. And if anything, I would imagine that we see the minutes for that top pairing go up quite a bit once we get into the playoffs, because that's the one thing that I think Rick Tocchet deserves a lot of credit for is, you know, Quinn Hughes is this game-changing player that tilts the ice when he's out there for you. And Rick Tocchet has still got him only around 24 minutes a game when, you know, last year I think he averaged nearly 26 minutes a game after Tocchet arrived to the end of the season, and they weren't playing for anything at that point. So, you know, now you can take the reins off Quinn Hughes when you get into the postseason. You can use him a lot more and lean on him a lot more, and that's what I expect to see at the expense of some minutes probably for that Zadorov-Cole pairing. And, you know, I think that's a potential game changer for this team to have Hughes out there so often, because we see how, you know, top defensemen that play a lot can really impact the game. You know, Drew Doughty does it in L.A. still, you know, at 34 years of age, I believe he is now. He's still averaging more minutes than anyone else in the league. And, you know, I think Quinn Hughes is capable of playing 26, 27, 28 minutes a night, maybe even north of 30 if you get into long overtime games and you know, want to lean on him in those scenarios too. So that'll be a big difference, I think, from what we've seen in terms of the deployment in the regular season, is that Hughes could get a few more minutes per game, and that could be very decisive in helping the Canucks have some success in the playoffs too.
What's the biggest wild card for you? For me, it's Elias Pettersson, and there's, like, no doubt about it in my mind. You know, I just see if he can up his game. And I know time's running out a little bit on the regular season for him to do that. And I don't know if you can just flip a switch and become an amazing player in the playoffs. But for me, you know, if Pettersson can regain his form from earlier in the season, you know, other times in his career, I really like the Canucks' chances of going on a run here. If not, I think it's going to be a lot tougher.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the biggest thing for me is, will his line be able to drive play in the matchup that they're in? And, you know, like I talked about already, I think there's an opportunity to get that line some softer matchups, especially at home. But, you know, on the road, let's say, where maybe they get matched up against the second line of the other team or potentially the first line of the other team if the other coach is trying to keep his top guys away from JT Miller and away from Elias Lindholm, then there's pressure on Pettersson there to help control play in that scenario. And obviously he's an offensive player. You want to see him produce, but I'm more interested in the two-way side of things for a guy like him to make sure that if he does get in one of those matchups where he's playing against top players, that they don't get caved in territorially, that, you know, they can try and control play and dictate. And that, to me, and Randeep has talked about this for weeks, but I agree with him completely, like, could be the single biggest defining factor in whether the Canucks can have success in the playoffs. Because you know what you're going to get from the Miller line for the most part. You know what you're going to get from Joshua and Garland, and whether it's Lindholm or whoever plays in the middle with those guys. You know what they can do in terms of establishing the forecheck and playing a grinding game. And I think the playoffs will be really suited to the way that those guys play. But it's that Pettersson line, and, you know, whether it's Hoglander and Mikheyev on it or however it ends up looking, you know, those guys need to drive play and need to make sure that, you know, they're not a liability when they're out there. And then, of course, any offense they can produce would be great too. So, you know, that comes down to Pettersson and him elevating his game at both ends of the ice. And I agree. I think it's the biggest thing that I would look at going into the playoffs and say, if it goes well for them, they've got a chance to have a lot of success. And if it doesn't, then it could be one of the defining factors why they don't.
Batch, this was great, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to do it. We appreciate it. Have a good call tonight. Good luck against Coventry on the weekend. We'll do this again next week.
Thank you. Yep. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Batch. That's Brendan Batchelor, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Is that the FA Cup?
Yep. It's United versus championship side Coventry.
Mm-hmm.
In which pretty much everyone is going to be rooting for the underdog. Big underdog, Coventry.
Right.
And then in the other one, it's City against Chelsea. Chelsea 6-0 over Everton yesterday.
So City could pull another treble, right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get past Cole Palmer, their former player, who's now lighting it up for Chelsea. Found the back of the net 4 times yesterday.
Is Coventry super religious?
No.
They sound like they'd be like a bunch of paladins or... They all have knight's armor or something.
They are not, Andy.
Oh, okay.
I am sorry.
Soccer's boring.
What about the young boys? How religious are they?
Just a golden opportunity there.
You know what?
I'm not even going to go down that avenue.
Just move past that one.
Oh, the young boys?
I am going to stay on the subject of the football of the international variety, though, as it pertains to the Canadian men's national soccer team. My, what we learned, and this just came down confirmed a few moments ago, Canada has booked another major international friendly, this time against the runners-up from the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, the French national team. That's right.
That's incredible.
Canada, in the span of 3 matches, will be playing against France in Bordeaux on June 2nd. They'll be playing against the Netherlands in Rotterdam on June 6th. And those 2 matches are in preparation for the opening match of the 2024 Copa America, in which they will be facing Argentina and Lionel Messi in Atlanta on June 20th. So what a run of matches for the Canadian men's national team. We're a long way away from playing Netherlands, Antilles, and Belize competitively.
Yeah, we got the real Netherlands now.
That's right. Now, they will be facing Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe within the span of 14 days, which is an amazing thing. It's really cool. I hope that the Canadians will be able to put forth a good performance, perhaps something a little more scintillating than their slog of a 2-0 victory over Trinidad and Tobago in Copa America qualifying. But whatever the case, as tumultuous and as bad as the program has been both on the men's and women's side over the last little bit at the executive level and at the fundraising level, the fact that they're able to book these friendlies is a very good thing. And I'm trying to be
optimistic. It's kind of sad that none of them are at home, but I understand. You know, the Copa America is not in Canada, and the reason that France and Netherlands are looking to book these friendlies is because they're warming up for the Euros.
Yeah, and I should mention, like, it doesn't just end with those. So the match against Argentina obviously is going to be a massive test. They play Peru is one of the, I mean, all due respect, but it's one of the weaker South American countries. Chile, who they play in the final group match at Copa, very talented. And then they booked another friendly for September 10th against Mexico, a perennial CONCACAF powerhouse. So a really, it's going to be a great summer for the Canadian men's national team.
Unless I get bombed in all these games, then it won't be so great. And then it'll be a little bit worrying.
And there's the kicker. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, Moo, count me on that. Hey, you, listeners, I got a question. Can you send in some What We Learns? Everyone seems to be texting in incorrect information about the Canucks and where they can finish in the playoffs, or where I don't. You know what?
Stop texting
in about what you think can happen with the standings. We've laid it out correctly.
People are really getting tripped up by they look at the standings and they get zeroed in on the wild card.
Yes.
So they sit there and they go, well, wait a minute. If Vegas wins their final two games, then they'll pass Nashville and they'll be in the first wild card spot, which in theory like makes sense. You're like, wait a minute, yeah, that makes sense. But no, you have to remember that they would in fact pass LA for third place in the division. And if LA drops into a wild card spot, then Nashville is guaranteed to finish ahead of LA. Nashville has the tiebreaker on LA. So Nashville, trust us on this, is locked in to the first wild card spot. So the only way that the Canucks will play Vegas or LA in the playoffs is if the Canucks win the Western Conference.
Yes. And that could all come to a close tonight, because if the Canucks lose in any fashion to the Calgary Flames, Dallas clinches the Western Conference. But if the Canucks were to gain a point and then lose in overtime of the shootout, Dallas would clinch first spot and the Canucks would move and clinch second, thereby facing the Nashville Predators. This will be the last time we explain this on the air.
No, it won't.
We are now going to ask you to send in What We Learns that do not have us re-explain this or relitigate this live on our radio show. Send them in. Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? Let us know.
I think I've learned that the NHL does need to just go back to 1-8 just so we don't have to explain all these scenarios.
And, okay, here's the other thing. We do get enough wrong on this show. You're right to question us. Mm-hmm. But just trust us on this one. We've gone over this so many times that we've pretty much got it committed to memory. You're listening to the Halford and Bref Show on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3-4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now for my favorite part of the show. What did I say? Talk to the audience. Oh, God, this is always dead.
It's What We Learn time. It's What We Learn time. It's What We Learn time. On the show.
On a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in Hour 3 of the program. It is What We Learn time. Hour 3 is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today. Okay. Who's got a What We Learn? You guys want to do anything today?
I have a quick one.
Oh, there are a lot in the Dunbar Lumber text line, so let's make it quick.
A-Dog's got a little one. A-Dog's got a little one.
He sure does. We're going to do A-Dog and A-Dog only. A-Dog, what did you learn over the last 24 hours?
I learned, thanks to our inbox, that Vegas, I don't know if you guys knew this, could actually surpass Nashville. You actually went there, eh? The top wild card spot. In the Western Conference. That's pretty cool.
I hate you.
That's pretty
so
cool.
Much.
The funny thing is
I didn't
make kind of a mistake in the last segment because I said the only way that the Canucks could play Vegas or LA is if they win the conference, and that's still not true because they still have not officially clinched the division.
Yeah, so they could finish second and take on the third place team in the Pacific.
Right.
I find this whole thing very, it just makes me tired and confused.
Thinking?
Yeah, this much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's print off some submissions into the, first of all, Moo Cow that. Print off some submissions into the Dunbar Lumber text line.
What we learned, as always, brought to you by Get Fire Plan. Protect what matters most with comprehensive fire safety plans, monthly audits, and risk mitigation at $200 off. Visit them at GetFireplan.com.
Oh, my God! We're having a fire!
Plan.
You want me to start? Or you
no,
want
I'm going to start with this one. Bryce in Deep Cove. What we learned, anyone over 40 pines for the old Smythe Norris Adams Patrick Division days. Playoff seeding these days is way overcomplicated. Yeah,
not
it used to be. It used to be really simple. Like, there was 21 teams and 16 made it. So, chances are your team made the playoffs,
yeah,
right?
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Patrick Division got screwed, though, because only four of the six made it. And it's like, well, so two of us miss and the other three divisions, only three missed? And I was like, don't worry. They're all going out in the first round.
When you're looking at the standings from the bottom up, it is natural to say, like, oh, well, they can leapfrog this team. But mm-hmm. you don't. You actually leapfrog into a totally different position in the division.
Well, we have to remember how this all came about, this system, right? And I think a lot of people forget about this. The NHL originally wanted to go back to purely divisional. They wanted to go back to the old Smythe, Norris, Adams, Patrick division days when it would be 1 versus 4 in the division and 2 versus 3, and that was the same across all the divisions. And then the NHL PA complained. And so they went to this kind of like half in, half out version,
right?
Where they're like, okay, well, 2 and 3 are definitely going to meet, but then we'll do a wild card to see who plays number one. And it just really confused the issue. And I think at some point it would be easier if they just went to 1 versus 8.
But they're going to also have the play-in tournament pretty soon too. By the way, what we learned, the NBA's play-in tournament begins tonight, Western Conference.
So what's the big story from the NBA? Is it the Warriors? Like, are they?
Well, I mean, the Lakers are in the play-in, so everyone's going to be paying attention to that.
Well, the Warriors are in the play-in too,
yep.
right?
And then as far
as Draymond going to get thrown out in these games?
Oh, one can only hope. Mm-hmm. And then looking at the big, my personal favorite matchup is Minnesota-Phoenix in the first round, but a lot of people are pointing to the best first round matchup as being Indiana and Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So there's lots going on there.
I
got one here from Marcus and Gibson's hashtag WWL. What we learned. I learned Detroit is a drama city. Even if they miss, at least that city has been treated to a highly dramatic playoff chase. Oh, and Dylan Larkin is him.
I'm sure they'll take it well if they miss the playoffs.
I don't know how that phrasing is supposed to work. I don't really get the is him thing, but I think it's Lucas Raymond is him.
I think that's a young people's way of saying he's really good.
He is
that
him.
Guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is I and I am him. Slim right. with the tilted brim.
Who do you think you are? Lucas Raymond is.
Right. Also, so here's what we need to know about Washington tonight.
God, I don't want the Capitals in the playoffs.
Washington really controls its own destiny. Winning, they're in. They're the only team that has full control. Detroit has to win. Can't lose in any fashion. If they win in any fashion and Washington loses to Philadelphia in any fashion, so even in overtime, Washington's eliminated and Detroit goes in. So Detroit has a decent
But does then Pittsburgh shot. Have a chance?
Pittsburgh has no clinching scenarios tonight.
Okay.
They are eliminated if either Detroit or Washington wins. So they're sitting back in the cut tonight and they're saying
they both teams have to lose.
Right. Lose Caps, lose Wings. Okay. It's very confusing. I'll give you people a pass if you don't understand the full Eastern picture.
When I say I don't want Washington in, it's less about Washington and more about I want to see Detroit in or Pittsburgh in, because I think those teams are just, I mean, a bit, for me, Detroit is a fun team to watch. The games are very entertaining. You know, they're not a complete team and they don't play defense very well, but they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
And for Pittsburgh, I'd love to see the story of Sid dragging that team into the playoffs. Now, some people will say, well, what about Ovi? And I guess fair enough. I just think Washington is a legit bad team.
Right.
I'm not ready to say – I can't say that about Pittsburgh necessarily. I think they have bad power play, but I don't think they're a bad team.
I mean, I agree with you. I have no interest in seeing the Capitals go to the playoffs with Charlie Lindgren. And I know Charlie Lindgren's been awesome. Charlie Lindgren's 30 years old, Greg. Is that correct?
Yeah, he reinvented himself in the minors.
That's crazy.
I told you, with the Blues.
But I didn't realize he was that old. I know he'd been around for a while, but
he was one of the best. He was the AHL goalie of the year for like 4 years running.
I got a lot of respect for a guy that has his career year at age 30. That's pretty cool.
I like this, What We Learned. It was funny. Playing meaningful games in April means we need to do tough math. Maybe we're out of practice trying to figure out playoffs positions. Life was easier when we were eliminated in December.
It's true. You always,
yeah, that's true. It's like, ah, I don't care.
It's much easier to figure out what your lottery percentage odds are.
Yeah, you just went to the simulator.
San Jose wrapped that up a while ago, right? They got the best odds for Macklin Celebrini. I'm pretty sure they're well in the lead.
Bad.
They have 19 wins this year.
Minus 146 goal differential.
That's tough. You're not going to make the playoffs like that. You are going to get Macklin Celebrini like that, though. Woodrow.
What if Chicago gets him, though? And then they've got basically Taves and Kane 2.0. And arguably, maybe even like a better combination.
You know that's
Bedard
what's going to happen, right? Like, that is going to happen. I'm just expecting it now.
They got a good chance.
The hockey gods are willing this to happen. It's like, Chicago's back, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Dynasty part two.
San Jose has earned Macklin Celebrini based
oh,
on
course.
How like no team in recent memory has been that putrid. They are, I mean, yep. Even last night they threw in one more clunker for good measure. They lost 9-2 to Edmonton, by the way. Running up the score on the Sharks, and like Connor McDavid getting his 100th assist, which
the
is
Canucks beat the Sharks 10-1
when it mattered.
Do you think if the Sharks
they needed those
you
points.
Can't complain about a team beating another team 9-2 when the Canucks beat them 10-1 and you were celebrating.
Yeah.
Laddie wanted them to challenge the goal.
Well, I was gonna say, do you think if they scored a questionable goal they would have challenged I think they would have.
They should have.
I think they should have.
Can yeah. I just bringing okay so Connor McDavid
see this is the Sharks problem we and it's their fault. We should not be having these discussions about like the NHL. It's like everyone feels sorry for the Sharks, and everyone's running up the score on the Sharks. Like, that's their fault.
So here's a question.
I blame the victim.
Speaking of the Sharks, the victim. Connor McDavid got his 100th assist last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's only one of four NHL players to ever get 100 assists in a season. I think the other guys are, what are you, spinning your finger?
Yeah, Gretzky.
Whoop-de-doo.
Who else did it? Gretzky and Bobby
Gretzky,
Orr?
Gretzky, Lemieux, and Orr. Now, the crazy part about that stat is
those guys are okay.
Lemieux did it once.
Mm-hmm.
Orr did it once. And obviously McDavid's done it once. Do you know how many times Wayne Gretzky got 100 assists in a season?
Five or six?
11.
Times. 11?
11. It's not even close. Anyway.
That's incredible.
Further to
he's
my point.
Good. You get a goal and you get a goal. And
McDavid
you get a goal.
Sat out all these games. Do you think they brought him back last night? They're like, we'll let you play one so you can get your 100 assists, but it's going to be against a terrible team that you can probably get the 100th assist.
Right.
If they sit him again, I'll actually have more respect for Edmonton.
Did he get the 100th assist early, or was it late?
No,
in the game?
It was like eight. It was the eighth or ninth
goal.
Oh, okay.
It would have been funny if he got it early, then he benched him for the rest of the game.
Okay,
or
anyway,
we just left.
Yeah. I do have a what we learned here.
See you guys.
Yeah, really. He should be. That's it. I'm out.
David's going down the tunnel. Uh oh.
He
no,
comes
he's
back
just leaving.
In a suit, stands behind the bench with Chris Knobloch. Yeah. Woodrow, the eligible bachelor. Hashtag WWO. What we learned: the Amazon cameras have started to follow around Quinn Hughes for their NHL Behind the Scenes series. Missed opportunity. The show really should follow around Nikita Zadorov. Yeah, I think, based on a little bit of research, by that I mean I read one article on it, I think that they're doing something on the Hughes brothers. I think that that might be the push for the... Because they're filming a bunch of guys, and I believe Quinn Hughes is the only Vancouver Canuck that they're going to focus on. All due respect to Zadorov, which would be funny. But I think that as they're looking for marketable stars and storylines, the Hughes brothers, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I think the Hughes brothers are going to be very central forces in NHL marketing, right? You know that Jack Hughes is like a young teen heartthrob, right?
Mm-hmm. And they're so 20. Different from each other. That's what's funny.
Yeah.
Like the Amazon guys, if they're playing to the non-hockey crowd, they'd be like, Mr. Happy Stud, like TikTok star over here. And then Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
He looks miserable.
Yeah, there'll be one girl like, I like him. He's emotional.
I can fix him. But no, all joking aside, like, you know that's going to be an angle, right? Like, I guarantee you that's going to be an angle.
Dave from Harrison, what we learned. What I learned is that traveling to an away game is probably the most exhilarating thing I've ever done. Booked the flight and went to the Oilers game last Saturday, and walking into the building as an enemy was by far the funnest thing that I've ever done. The $18 beers, not so fun. Yeah, that's a nice rink in a
You've
rink.
Been there, right?
Yeah. It's outside of the city, the arena is really quite nice. It does actually bring up the question of traveling to watch the Canucks in the playoffs, because Nashville is tough to get to. Just in terms of, like, you need to connect unless you fly like us in the PJ.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people, the normies, can't afford to do that.
That's for a private jet, I'm assuming.
It's when a helicopter's not available.
It's what the rich people call the private jet.
If you have to ask.
You don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So that is tough. But, I mean, it would still be doable. And I would say, if you're going to travel to go see the Canucks in the first round and they do play Nashville, it's probably the cheapest ticket on the secondary market to get is Nashville, because let's say you hold out for the second round and the Canucks beat the Preds, as they obviously will, and then it's Edmonton, let's say, or Vegas, I think the secondary market, although it's an easier flight to get to Edmonton and Vegas, the secondary market would be pretty tough.
Okay, I got one from Jay in OK Falls here. Hashtag WWL, what we learned. NBA, but not playoffs. This is big. What we learned, Woj leaked the USA Men's Basketball Olympic roster. They will be tough to beat with, wait for it, LeBron, KD, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, etc. So good that Kawhi Leonard hasn't made the team yet. SGA is a fantastic player, but the U.S. team should be too deep. Yeah, so obviously you and I have talked about this a lot, that we're really looking forward to the Summer Olympics because Canada-USA basketball,
mm-hmm,
and that rivalry. USA not messing around when it comes to the 2024 Paris Olympics roster. So right now, the report is that LeBron, Steph, KD, Joel Embiid are all in. So too, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton. Like, they are not messing around. They're sending everyone to this thing. Now, the other interesting...
This is the most I've looked forward to a Summer Olympics since Ben Johnson was running.
Wow. That's not a long time ago. Well, it's going to be pretty cool. Now, here's another one for you, though.
Whatever happened to him?
Ben?
Did he win?
Just kind of hung out.
He won, though, didn't he?
He did.
And that's the last
that was the
we
end
heard
of the
of
story.
Okay.
Another note, the coach of the Canadian men's national team, Jordy Fernandez,
mm-hmm,
sounds like he's going to get hired to be the head coach in Brooklyn, new head coach of the Nets.
Right.
So, a lot going on there.
Let's get a little more controversial here on the show. Your friendly KJ texts in.
Okay.
What we learned, Bruff is the leader, and leader is in all caps, of all the PD discourse and hate in Vancouver.
Yeah,
that's a strong word.
I agree.
90-point player, but doesn't think he can turn it on when it's going to matter. I'm not all that confident right now, no. Just watching him play these last couple of months. Not confident that he can flip the switch and be the player that we all know he has been and can be. I don't know what's going on with Petey. I think over the last 5 or 6 games, we've seen a little bit more energy out of him, a little bit more enthusiasm, but overall I don't think we've really seen enough. That was great that he ripped that shot home on the power play. It's, I suppose, good that he's been going to the net, although I don't think we should give any hockey player a standing ovation for going to the net. That's part of the job.
Gotta do it in the playoffs.
To go to the net. You know, like, that's not hard. That's not why Petey gets the big contract. It's like, we love him the way he can stand in front of the goalie, right? Like,
yep.
That's not. So if you want to say that I'm the leader of all the criticism, that's fine. This is a prove me wrong kind of moment for Elias Pettersson. And if this guy does not show up in a big way in the playoffs and the Canucks don't advance far in the playoffs, I won't be the only one pointing it out.
Prove me wrong, kids.
I said that yesterday. If Petey doesn't do well in the playoffs and they're out in the first round, it will be the number one talking point for Canucks fans in the summer.
I want Pettersson to do well. I keep on bringing it up that the bar is high because we've seen him do well. If he was just some prospect, they're like, man, if he can just get to that next level. He's already been to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's back at this current level. And you can say, you know, well, he doesn't have the best linemen. It's true. He doesn't have the line mates that a guy like, I don't know, Nathan MacKinnon would have with Rantanen. That is absolutely true. But just watch him play. Like, just watch him play lately, and he just hasn't been bringing the same level that we've seen before. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he performs in the playoffs, both on the power play and also, you know, and Batch brought up this great point. If Pettersson gets soft matchups, like if Rick Tocchet deploys his line, so games one and two are going to be at home, right? Mm-hmm. So Rick Tocchet could easily put out JT Miller's line and Elias Lindholm's line out against the two best Nashville lines, which would mean that the Pettersson line would get the softer matchups, right? Yeah. Maybe Pettersson is away from Ryan O'Reilly,
okay,
right? Who's, I don't know if you've heard this before, pretty good two-way player.
Ryan O'Reilly, the hockey player?
If Pettersson can't produce in that type of scenario, and if he doesn't look like, if he's not a significant difference maker, then I'm okay being labeled a number one Elias Pettersson critic or doubter or whatever.
Okay,
because,
well, hold on.
I mean, that's going to be an issue.
The texter has reworded it. You are just now the leader of the PD discourse, which is much more neutral.
That's fine.
Benign, if you will.
That's fine. I mean, the guy is the franchise. I know he's not on the contract right now, which is a ridiculous thing, by the way, to bring up. It's like, well, he's not making that money now. He's still he's not making $500,000. He's still making quite a lot of money. He's still one of these. Still, they made this 8-year commitment to him. He's right in his prime.
The pressure only kicks in next year.
Like, it doesn't mean like, all right, you started your contract. Now you get to play, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. He's a very important part of the Canucks, and the Canucks are well set up right now to make a deep run in the playoffs. This is a huge opportunity for them. Like, it's massive. They're healthy. They've got one of the best goalies in the NHL. They've got one of the best defensemen in the NHL. They've got depth in the bottom six. They got JT Miller playing the best hockey of his career. Let's go, boys. Let's go on a run. Petey, run along with us.
I think the simplest way to say it is that if Pettersson isn't one of their best players in the playoffs, they won't win a Stanley Cup. This core will never win a Stanley Cup if he isn't one of their best players. You might win a round. He might even win two rounds if he's not one of their best players, but he has to be that guy. He has to be as good as Hughes and as good as Demko and as good as Miller, and he has to do it every single game
if
they're going to win a Stanley Cup.
And believe me, I want him to do well.
And I think he can. I don't doubt him. I think he can do it.
And if you've listened to the show on a regular basis, yes, I brought him up a lot, but I'm also like, hey, he looked a little bit better, right? You know, like he looks a little bit more energetic, and Rick Tocchet said the same thing, and I want to bring this up. Like, and you can tell when he does well out there, like, if he makes a good play, you can see that he's got jump.
Yeah, he's got
the very next
extra pace in his step.
Which tells me that it's all between the ears, right? He just doesn't have the confidence. You know who?
Confidence.
We've seen that from other players on the Canucks, right? Like, they'll do something. They're struggling with their confidence. They'll do something well. And then the next shift is like, wow, he sure found his legs, right? Like, so to me, that tells me it's all confidence with Petey.
Yeah. And we know he can do it. He's just got to do it. We know he can.
Well,
he's got it in him. He's done it before.
Well, we don't know about the playoffs.
The bubble.
We've already gone through this.
I know. It's funny I say that because I don't technically count it either. But we
posted a video about
this. We know he's good.
I consider this to be Petey's playoff debut.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Like, I don't, and that will go for everyone that played in the bubble. Like,
but he has in the past stepped up in big moments, and he can do it again.
I just think
you can do it.
He can do it. I believe in him.
Well, there's a few different things that are going to go into this. I don't love the fact that if he goes into the playoffs, he will be going into the playoffs with the wingers that he's got.
Yeah,
I don't think it helps the situation.
He tried to give him better wingers, and there wasn't a noticeable difference.
But that's the regular season.
Okay.
I
mean, but they can still change the lines.
I still think he's good enough that it shouldn't matter. I mean, obviously having a good winger helps.
Needs to do something on the power play. Needs to do something on the power
play.
Yeah,
like, I still think he's good enough that he could elevate those guys. No, yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of things coming in about Rory. So I guess there was a report out there that Rory was going to go to live. And so I'm going to read one of the What We Learns. This comes in from Dayman, who's not a night man, apparently. What We Learned. Liv had a poor showing at Augusta. Bryson was mid. So they started these wild Rory to Liv rumors. Buddy in Surrey texts in what we learned. Rory McIlroy could be close to saying bye-bye to the PGA Tour. I say cash in if you can. Let's go, Rory.
I can shoot this down right away.
There, yeah, so his manager, Sean O'Flaherty, is Rory Irish, said of that report that it would be, by the way, an $850 million move to LIV Golf. Sean O'Flaherty said in an email, "'Tis fake news, zero truth."
There's an interview with Todd Lewis from Golf Central where Rory says, and I quote, "I will play on the PGA Tour for the rest of my career."
Aye.
And then they're always trying to steal his lucky charm.
Chasing that pot of gold.
Real quick here before we go.
Crazy kids and your lucky charms.
JanPro are the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no-obligation quote. Visit them at janpro.ca. Milwaukee Power Tools, a reminder, tomorrow, Wednesday, the 100th anniversary event tour is coming to Dick's Lumber in Burnaby from 7:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. There's going to be a food truck, live demos, and more. Don't miss it. We got to go now, but we will be back tomorrow. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Bruff. He's been A-Dog, and he's been Laddie. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.